Good morning, everyone. Today's the 1st of March, beginning of a new month. And so my calendar's clean. How about yours? Anyway, a lot is said about love. Good morning, Michael Adams. Welcome aboard. Good morning, Harold Sound. And good morning, Constantin Secarano. Hopefully I didn't butcher your name too bad. And welcome aboard all. Harold, I see you're an author as well, a fellow author on the path of life. Well, good morning, Kevin Morley. Wow, there's a lot of people up and live and kicking this morning, ready to take on that new month. I got my wife was raring to go this morning. Well, a lot of said is about love. Love is a beautiful thing. The greatest demonstration of love that we will ever see has been demonstrated by Jesus Christ for his people. Good morning, Michael. Galatians 5:22 tells us God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Good morning, MJ Avalos. Good to see you this morning. Notice that it says that the love of God is given to us. You know, it's not something that we earn, okay? It's not like getting up early and doing our chores early to make our parents happy, okay? God didn't look down through the portals of time and say, well, he seems like a pretty good guy, I'll choose him. No. We were all born and conceived in sin, so this gift of love was not based upon the merits, our merits, but it was based upon the merits of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Good morning, Benedict Nyangesa. Hopefully I said that right. We love him because he first loved us. That's why my wife loves me. It's because I first loved her. Well, the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. This is my commandment, that if you love one another as I have loved you, above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Well, there's a number of scriptures that are put together regarding the love of God. Galatians 5:22, John 4:16, Romans 5:5, 1 Peter 2:7, 1 John 4:19, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, John 15:12, and 1 Peter 4:8 and Ephesians 5:2, to be exact. Well, now what I'm going to say next may shock you. You say, why did you have to bring that up? Well, because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. We can't just pick and choose what we're going to accept or embrace in the Bible. if we are God's people, we're going to embrace all of the Bible. I have a question. Can you have love without hate? Can you have love without hate? Can you have cold without warmth? Can you have light without darkness? Can you have sweet without sour? Now, God is love, that the Bible tells us God is love. That is one of his attributes that he gives, that he shows to his people. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He says that herein is love. God loved us, and he gave himself for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's one side of the coin, so to speak. You can't have heads without tails. Okay?
And because the aspect of hate is so not dealt with in our society, was what prompted a study that I went through, and I went through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation in my study. And I found out that God is not just a God of love. That is one aspect of his attributes. I found out he has many attributes. He is a God of hate. He abhors people. He abhors parts of his creation. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. These are what we would construe as the negative aspects of God's attributes. Yes, God is a God of mercy. God is long-suffering. God is kind. He's benevolent. He feels our infirmities. But that is just what oftentimes people hear about God. They don't hear about the other attributes of God. Now, when we say God is sovereign, the term sovereign, we can relate to a king or a monarch who's in total control over his subjects. My question is God in control over his creation? Yes, he is. Is God the great determiner of all things? Someone said one time that if there's one maverick molecule, if there's one molecule, there's one speck of dust that has gone awry and out of God's control, then God is not sovereign. Now, you know, that should give us as God's people tremendous comfort, because we know that he controls all things. All things are in his hands. He controls our every aspect of our life. You say, well, we're not robots. Well, are you wanting to be maverick of God? Are you wanting to be outside his control? Are you wanting him not to be sovereign?
You know, we have an author with us today. And this author, Harold Sound, would tell you that other people didn't write his books for him. He authored his own books. You know, he wrote it the way he chose to write it. I'm an author, and I've written some books, and, you know, other people may, I may have gained information from other authors in writing my book, and I may allude to those other authors, whether it be Edward Hendry or Arthur W. Pink or John Calvin or Martin Luther, whoever. But the point is that I wrote down what I wanted to write down. God is the author of all things, including our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And so, Scripture tells us that God's going to put his enemies under his feet. We have in the Book of Psalms, a scripture that most people don't want to hear about. But it really opens our eyes to the other aspect of God's attributes if we read the second Psalm. It says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed," that's us, "saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." Shall laugh. "The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That's Jesus. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Well, you know, there's no way that we could trust in the Lord if he had not given us his Holy Spirit. There's a scripture in Isaiah 26:4 that says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever. Trust ye in the Lord forever," Isaiah 26:4. Well, we couldn't trust in the Lord if God hadn't placed his faith in us to trust in him. He's the author. He originated our faith. So hopefully this will this morning give you some, you know, Paul Harvey, the newscast, used to say the rest of the story. This has been the rest of the story this morning. God is a God that is sovereign over his creation. He is not dependent upon his creatures for anything. That gives me great comfort. I hope the good Lord is with you. TGIF, thank God it's Friday. I hope you have a blessed day, a blessed weekend, and a blessed Lord's Day. And may God be with you.